One of the biggest questions that comes up when my clients are putting together a paid offer is, will someone buy this? Which to some degree also begs the question, what if nobody buys this? Both of which are real questions you should be considering in your business. After all, you don't want to spend the time and energy putting together an offer that no one actually wants and isn't going to bring in any income for you. So in this episode, I'm breaking down all the tips, tricks, and tools you can use to make sure people will buy your offer once you put it out into the world. So stay tuned. Hey, hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Flow Business Podcast. I'm Sean, your host, and this is your place to build a business that complements your life, not complicates it. Today, we're talking about how to put something out into the world, put your work out into the world in a way that people will want to hit the purchase button, will want to buy from you, will want to take part in that offer so that A, you can help the people you want to help, and B, you can make money while you're doing it, which is kind of the point of having a business. So this topic was inspired by the conversations that come up a lot with the members of the Signature Program Lab. You know, we talk twice a month, every month, about things that they're thinking of, things that they're struggling with, questions they have. And this question comes up quite a bit, which is, how do I know someone's going to buy my program? Or what if no one buys my program? What if no one actually wants this? And, you know, it's a big question, but I think it's also kind of, yeah, just like a 3D question in and of itself is a big one. Yes. But then there's also a potential mindset block that is coming into play here. So it's kind of two things in one. Now, from this very logical perspective, yes, you do need to do everything in your power to know that what you're putting out into the world is something that people want, need, and are willing to pay for. And that's why within the first module of the Signature Program Lab, we are getting proof of concept. So basically, as soon as you know what the topic of your program is, what you're going to be doing with your program or with your offer, then we are getting proof of concept right away from the start before you put any more energy or time into that program. So that's one piece of it. And we're going to go over what that means to get proof of concept and how you can do it. But then there's also another aspect to this, which is the mindset piece, the imposter syndrome that is behind this question, the fear of failure that's behind this question, not wanting to be embarrassed or disappointed, not wanting to have those uncomfortable emotions if this thing doesn't work, if you don't make any sales. So we have to talk about that too. And we're going to talk about both today. Now, in this conversation, I've already done it. I'm going to continue to do it. I'm going to talk about your offers. And when I say that, I mean your paid offers. This could be a program, a course, a membership, a masterclass, a workshop, a challenge, anything that you create for your clients that they have to pay to be a part of. It can also work for your one-on-one offers if you're putting together a coaching package. So they get this many amount of sessions. There's this included, this included, this included. Maybe they get some bonuses or extra resources or something like that. And it's an entire package around your one-on-one work. This is also something to consider for that kind of package. If you are just doing one-off, one-on-one sessions without that package around it, then this probably doesn't really matter or doesn't really work for that kind of situation, okay? So I wanted to put that out there first. Now, let's dive in. How to know if people are going to buy your offer. First, from this very logical perspective and real question that you need to be asking yourself anytime you start considering a paid offer that you would put out into the world. So anytime you have this idea, the first thing you need to do is get proof of concept. So like I said, in Signature Program Lab, we're doing this in the first module. So this happens as soon as you solidify your idea and before you put any more time into it. So you just need to get to the point where you're clear on it enough that you can speak to it, that you can describe it well, you can put some words to it, so that when you are getting proof of concept, people can get a good idea of what it would be. So you're not saying this like really random, just very general idea. You're specific enough that people get what you're asking, get what you're saying, and have an idea of your idea. And then you can get some really good feedback. So that feedback can come in so many different ways. And I don't want you to get discouraged if you don't have a big audience or a big following right now. You don't think you have people to ask. You do. I promise you, you do. There is a way for you to get proof of concept. Now, the most obvious is to ask people. Ask your audience if you have one of dream clients. I don't care if it's 10 people, 50 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 100,000 people. I don't care the size of it, but if you have any sort of audience that contains your dream clients, ask them. Ask them and get their take on it. People love to give their feedback. People love especially to do like a little survey or a little like yes, no, especially on things like Instagram stories where you can put the polls and they just have to select a poll and then continue on. People love doing that stuff, especially if it's something that relates to them. So take advantage and ask them about what you're thinking about doing for your offer and see if it's something they would be interested in. So I mentioned IG stories. They make a great, great, great place to get feedback. You can do an actual Instagram post or a Facebook post with a call to action to comment on if they'd be interested in. So set it up so the comment just needs to be like, yes or no, not really. Just make it so it's a really easy thing for them to comment on. You can email them, either personally email them if you don't have an email list going already, or if you do have an email list and there are people that would be a good fit for what you're considering, then you can send a mass email. And it can be where you just ask them to reply to your email and you can get the emails and kind of have this individual conversation with them if you want that, if you're okay with that coming into your inbox, which may be more emails than you're used to managing. If that seems overwhelming, if you have a big enough email list where that just isn't going to work, you're going to get bombarded with responses, then you can create like a little form. You can do like a Google form or a SurveyMonkey or something like that, all of which are free, and just create a little form with like very, very short, a couple questions at most, something that would take them less than a minute to get their feedback and their response. If you have your own Facebook group, then definitely use that and create a post in your Facebook group asking for feedback and getting the responses there. Other things you can do to ask people if none of that resonates with you is, and this is my favorite, and something that so many people overlook, especially if you're just starting your business, you are likely overlooking the power of your own personal network. I just really have a strong, strong, strong feeling that there is someone you already know who is a good fit for what you're considering putting out into the world, that is a good fit to work with you. It may be like a family friend or a ex-coworker or someone you knew from high school. There's just so much power in the people who already know you for so many reasons, because mainly they're warm. They already know you. They already trust you. They already like you. They are more apt to respond to things that you're doing. I think we can all agree that, if you're someone who has a business account and you have some friends that follow you And maybe they're not even exactly your perfect dream clients. Maybe they're following you out of support or something like that, but they still are probably the ones who are talking to you most, who are giving you the most engagement and comments and conversations and that kind of thing. So that just goes to show that the people who already know you are most likely to engage with you, are most likely to give you feedback. So if there are people in your network, people who already know you that are a good fit to work with you, are a good fit for your topic or the work you do, ask them. And this is where a personal call, text, or email works wonders. And then you can have a conversation and just kind of let them know what you're up to and get some honest feedback and make sure they know that you want it to be honest feedback. Like if you didn't know me, but you saw someone else who was doing this, what would you think? That kind of thing. It's a great spot to have a deeper conversation than just, you know, posting on Instagram stories and hoping people respond. This is a really good chance to get some deep, solid feedback from someone you trust and who trusts you. You can also ask current or past clients, other Facebook groups. So if you're part of a Facebook group that has your dream clients in it as members, then ask what they would think. Now, you may want to confirm with the people who run the Facebook group just to make sure it's okay to get feedback. Since you're not actually selling anything at that point, I don't see why it would be a problem to just ask, would you be interested in something like this? So I can't imagine that would be a problem, but you may want to just confirm so you don't get kicked out entirely and you are going with the rules of that group. And also networking events. Again, this is something kind of similar to people in your network, but this may be a more professional connections. So for example, let's say that you're part of a business group and normally you talk about business things and that's really like the common denominator between all of you, except you also know that people in that business group are moms and you actually do something specific with moms that they could also be interested in. You can take advantage of those connections and ask in those kinds of networking groups or business groups, professional groups too. So make sure you see the potential in all groups that you're in all the people that you have connections with, not just on social media. Like I think we get so wrapped up in, I have to have this audience, I have to have this following before I can do anything else, before I can get feedback on anything else, before I can make any sales. We're just really in that world and in that space right now, and it is not the case. Like, what did people do before social media existed? Plenty of businesses were wildly successful. And so we don't have to go down that road of, I have to have this huge following before I can do anything. You can do it right now with what you have. I talk about this all the time, but I started my business 11 years ago now. And yeah, social media existed, but it is not what it was today. I wasn't even on Instagram when I started my business. It was really just like an app to share your personal photos and make them really ugly with all these filters and just do dumb things. It was not a business minded or business focused thing for several years after that. So all of my email list, all of my clients for quite a while were personal connections. I used, yes, my personal Facebook page. So I guess I was still using social media, but my personal Facebook page, like of people who I went to college with, went to high school with, like friends of my parents, friends of my sister, just anybody that I had met over the years, that was how I was getting clients and that was how I was building my email list. So that personal network is something for you to use and really make sure that you're tapping into that. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, what do I say when I am reaching out to these people? And I think it really does matter in how you approach this. Ideally, you want to keep it really light and really personable, really authentic, and just be real and let them know what you're thinking about doing and keep it at that. Like, I'm thinking about doing this. Would it be something you're interested in? Is that something you'd want to be involved in? Just do your best to create this question that is open-ended enough to get some feedback, but not so open-ended that people feel they have to like write you a paragraph back or have more questions. Like, you want it to be very specific about the transformation that will happen in this program or this masterclass or this challenge, that point A, where they are now, to where they want to be, that point B, and who specifically it would be for. And then just say, is this something you'd be interested in? And I have exact scripts, exact questions inside Signature Program Lab, but it does come down to you kind of putting your spin on it a little bit and just having these really engaging, kind of relaxed, informal questions to catch people's attention and get them to say, yeah, that sounds cool, or no, I don't think that would be right for me. You just want to get that and get enough response there. Now, moving on to the second way that you can get proof of concept is through past client experiences. Do you have a process that you seem to be repeating with most or all of your clients? Do you find yourself saying the same thing over and over again? And most importantly, do you have people asking for it without them even knowing it? So this is how most of my programs, which are now, I'm now at 8 in the past 8 years, I believe, almost all of them have come from this, my past client experiences. Either I found myself, and this was the case with my nutrition program, I found myself saying the same thing to my clients within the first like 4 or 5 sessions. It was the same thing. There was a process we had to go through, this like foundational work that needed to happen for everyone. And so that kind of spurred the idea of my first program, because I could clearly see there was a process that I was taking everyone through that they needed to go through, and that was really important to their overall transformation. So then the value was there too. Other times and other programs have, like a lot of other programs, I think almost all of them besides that one, have come because people were asking for it without knowing it. So my clients were asking for the next step or asking for this kind of training or this kind of program, this kind of masterclass, just in asking the questions they were asking and having the problems they were having or the stuckness they were feeling, and then me being able to see that there was an opportunity there, there was something that was needed and that people wanted. And if they're asking for it, then you know there's a really good chance they are in, right? So that's a way to get proof of concept. And so it really helps to have conversations with people and to be open to just kind of hearing what people are thinking as they're consuming, even if it is a freebie or your emails or your social media posts or however you're putting content out into the world, even if it's free content, what you get in return, the conversations that you start having can be the foundation for your paid offers. And right there is proof of concept. And then lastly, when it comes to the topic of proof of concept, is to take a look at the market. So do your market research. And I recommend you do this no matter what, even if you've already gotten all the proof of concept and you talked to a bunch of people, everyone's really excited about your potential offer. I still want you to do market research. And this is can be kind of challenging because we have to shift our mindset a lot before we get into doing market research, because this is not about creating this sense of competition for yourself. It's not to be like, oh, someone's already doing this, then I shouldn't, or they're already a massive success with this. They have all these followers and they have this super successful thing that I wanted to do. So that means I can't. That is not what we're doing here. This is not about creating competition for yourself. And it's also not about copying anyone. We are not doing market research for either of those purposes. Instead, I think market research is just really important for you to see what's out there and see what people are doing in your space, and really just to validate that there is a market for what you want to do too. So are there other offers like the one that you're thinking about creating? Now, because of the crowdedness of most of our industries, which we talked about a few episodes ago, and how it's not a bad thing, it's a great thing. Because of that crowdedness, chances are you're not going to be the only one putting out an offer in your area of expertise. And if you are, that actually might be a red flag. So if you're doing market research and you really can't find anyone who's doing anything like what you want to do, you really need to stop and consider why that would be. Is it because you're really that far into the cutting edge that no one has considered or thought about this kind of offer before? Or is it because there isn't a market for that and maybe people have tried and didn't have success, or other people in your industry know that that wouldn't be something that would sell? So we got to get kind of clear on that. Now, most of the time, you're going to find someone who has something similar to what you want to do. And that is a good thing because that means there's a market for it. If they're having success with it, if it's something they have to offer and they've done and they've built a business around or even part of their business around, that means you can too. That means there's a market for it. And it's also really great because in doing this research, you get to see your own unique spin on something, because likely as you're going through and doing this market research, you'll see like, oh, this person's doing something similar in this space too, and theirs looks really cool, but I actually was thinking of doing it this way, or I was actually going to include this, this, and this, or it doesn't look like they're talking about this or paying attention to this part of it, and I really wanted that to be my focus. So it shows you how you're going to have your own unique spin on things, which will only increase your confidence. So I really think market research is something for everyone to do as they're starting to formulate what their paid programs or services would be. And you can do that just through the good old Google. Just Google your ideas, Google your topics, just get really involved in Google and you will find something. You can do the same thing through Instagram too, or your social media platform of choice, just doing some research and finding people who are doing something similar to you and then going through and looking at their offers, like click on their website or whatever they have linked, and you'll be able to check out and see what they're up to. But one more reminder, not to copy. Please do not copy anyone. That's just bad business. Don't do it. And number two, do not let that ego voice kick up and start saying that someone's already doing it, so you can't. That is not the point of this. And that is definitely not true. So as soon as that kicks on, if it does, turn it off. You get to decide what you listen to. All right, now let's move on and talk about some other ways to make sure that people will buy your offer once you put it out into the world. So we've gotten to the point where you've gotten the market research, you're feeling good about it, you've taken the time to put it all together and package it up so it's really great. Now it's time to put it out into the world. When you do that, you need to make sure your offer is irresistible to the right person. Because you can have a great program, a great masterclass, a great workshop, course, one-on-one package. It can be amazing and really helpful for the right person. But if you don't communicate the value of what they're getting and why they need it and why it's so important and what it will do for them, what's included, what they'll get, that is all part of your offer. So just having that program, that masterclass, that challenge isn't enough. You need to create the environment, the enticing, irresistible environment around that product or service so people want to purchase. Just having it in and of itself is not enough for people to want to purchase. So that is where your offer comes in, creating this irresistible offer. There's some ingredients, which I've talked about in past episodes, in which I walk you through step-by-step in Signature Program Lab so you can create this for your offer. But the main things are it needs to have a clear transformation. So you need to speak directly to that point A, where they're starting when they join, and the point B, which is where they'll be when they're done. So that really communicates why they need this and what it will do for them. Everyone that's buying anything is doing so because they're going to get something out of it. They're going to get a return on that investment. So they need to know what the return on investment is for what you're offering. And it has to have clear results. So this kind of goes into that, but really being clear on when this is done, here's what you can expect. Here's what will be different. Here's how you will feel. Here's how you will look. Here's what you will experience. Very, very clear on the results that will happen. And it needs to have clear value. And that's, like I said, really what we're doing when we create an offer is just making it this no-brainer steal of a deal. Like, I cannot believe I'm getting this. I can't believe everything that's going to be included. I can't believe the transformation that's going to happen because of this. It just really needs to be like this shocking thing in a good way, like this really no-brainer decision for them to make. And that is what your offer will do. If your environment for your product or service is not created well, you will have the potential of no sales. And that's just the honest truth. So this really does matter. This step is important. And the last thing in the tangible realm of how to know if people will buy your offer is you have to market it appropriately. Something we talk about a lot here on the show because it is a problem. It is a real hurdle for a lot of you potentially marketing your products and services, whatever work you do, appropriately, because I can guarantee you no one will buy your offer if they don't know about it. That means you need a marketing plan, a full-on plan, a full-on strategy. It cannot be something you just wing or you just kind of go with it as it happens. Like, I'm all about go with the flow, but this is not the time to go with the flow. You need a plan. So take the time before you put this offer out into the world to write your emails, to create your social posts, to figure out a free special event as kind of like a kickoff to having this paid offer out into the world. It's kind of like a celebration to the start of putting this offer out into the world. And it's important because it draws attention and excitement and just really creates a whole event around it, which means people will see it because no one can buy your offer if they don't know about it. So this lets people know about it. There's obviously a strategy around it. There's a plan behind it. It's something that I've actually grown to really super love, which is strange because, you know, 11 years ago when I started my business, if you would have told me I would love launching paid offers and creating a whole plan around launching paid offers, I would have thought you were nuts. But I've really, really grown to love it. I've got a good strategy, I think, behind it that still feels good and doesn't feel like you're being salesy or weird, but works. And so now I love to teach it and I love to help you with it because it does really matter and it really is a key answer to the question of, will people buy this? If you have the right marketing plan and strategy, then that means people will know about it and they'll hear about it multiple times, which is really, really necessary to get that sale and to have them be aware of what you're offering and to know that it's the right thing for them. So hearing about it multiple times, being part of this whole system to where they are getting the information they need to make that decision for them is important, and it is the answer to this question of this episode and vital to the success of your business. And I think that's why I like to talk about it so much and have gotten so fond of it over the years, because it is that important, but also doesn't have to feel icky or salesy. And so finding that balance, I think, is the sweet spot. Okay, so those are really some tips and tools for you to use to feel a lot more comfortable and confident in your idea so that you can take the next step and start building out whatever you have to offer, knowing that people want it, need it, are looking for it, would buy it. And of course, if you want help with any of this, all of these steps, every single thing that we just talked about is something that we do together inside Signature Program Lab. So if you want to make sure you're doing it correctly and you get the proof of concept you need and you set up your offer in a way that's appealing and irresistible and you have a whole launch strategy around it when you're ready to put it out into the world, you can do all of that together with me inside Signature Program Lab. Now on to the real talk of this episode. How do you know if people will buy your offer? Well, you don't. Unfortunately, there is no crystal ball for your business so you can know exactly how many people will buy your offer, when, where, how much money you'll make, and that you definitely will never have to deal with failure or disappointment or frustration or anything like that in your business. It doesn't exist, but wouldn't that be nice? That would make things a heck of a lot easier. Now, what I will say is that once you've gone through even one launch, but definitely after a few launches, and you get the data from those launches, then you actually can kind of predict your outcome based on your data. So that's where it's really nice to have, you know, get this first launch out of the way, maybe another launch, and then you will get some real data so you won't be completely in the dark. It's this beginning first one that feels a little more like a hurdle than the rest because it's the beginning, because you don't have that data, because you haven't done it before. So you have to take a little bit of a risk, which really is not fair, because that's when we typically want reassurance the most, when we are putting something new out in the world or doing something we haven't done before. But that's just not how this world works. I think a lot of times these thoughts come up pretty early on when we're just starting to formulate our ideas and organize our process and figure out what we actually want to do. And so it's hard to wrap your head around what you're going to deliver and the value you're going to provide because you haven't gotten that far yet. You haven't determined it yet. And so it gets hard, it gets overwhelming, it gets confusing, it starts to seem like a lot of work, like an uphill battle, like it will never happen, and then you're going to do all of this and no one's going to buy it, you're not going to make any money. We get into this like roller coaster ride of emotions and thoughts and really start spinning. And when you do that, then the imposter syndrome comes up, the fear-based stories come up, and we find ourselves in this place where we're questioning everything. So in these moments, when you are in this spiral, that's when this feeling of, will people even buy this? Is this even something of value? Do people want this? What am I even doing? What's the point of putting in all this work? So you can see the difference in those questions versus, how do I know if people are going to buy this offer? Which is just a very like logical, valid thing that you need to consider as you're going through this process. But it's the like, what am I even doing? What is this even worth it? What if no one wants it? Has a different vibe, right? And it comes from these stories. It comes from that mental chatter. And this is when coming back to your own desire and creating something that you're proud of will need to be at the forefront so that you can cut those stories short and you know, dampen them a little bit, I guess. Every single one of you listening right now has something valuable to offer this world. I know that for a fact, with 100% certainty. You have something within you that other people want, need, and are willing to pay for. And it is very valuable. So that's not actually the question here. The question is, do you have the desire to put it out into the world? And is that desire strong enough to beat out those fears? And if you have even a little bit of that desire, which I think you do because you're here listening to this, keep pushing forward. Take that next little step. Because every single little tiny step, no matter how big or small it is, provides more clarity and it breeds momentum. And with both of those things comes confidence. And I think when we have these questions of, will someone even buy this? Does anyone even want this? What am I even doing? It's coming from a lack of confidence and clarity. So the pushing forward, despite these fear stories, this mental chatter coming up, is the way to get onto the other side of it and to feel more confident that people are going to buy. So it's like hearing those stories, but then continuing to take the next step forward if you have the desire at all whatsoever within you to put this thing out into the world, because that movement is what will trigger the confidence and the clarity that you need to squash those stories. And then you can really just get into that tangible stuff that we talked about in the first part of this episode, where you are just finding out more information, where you're getting that proof of concept, where you're doing your market research, but from this place of confidence and excitement about what you're about to create. And then once you're there and once you've done that and you've got a good handle on the market and you've gotten some responses of people that would be interested, so you think it's an idea that you want to keep moving forward with, then you focus on just creating something that you're really proud of. Because when you have that pride, that is when you are excited to put together this really awesome package for people that creates that irresistible offer, and you're beyond excited to go through that launch strategy and properly market what you have to offer, because you've taken the time to, first of all, get that proof of concept, to start feeling that confidence around it, to gain that clarity and momentum around it. And you've also done the work to and put together something that you're proud of. And when you have that, then you have this kind of like just amazing energy around what you've just done that is this like silent attractor for people. So it's not just about the offer and the marketing strategy and everything you've done, although that's super important, but it's also the energy behind it and the energy infused in everything you've just done. And that can't really come to fruition, can't really be what you want it to be when you have these really like ego-based stories, those fear-based stories, and that's where you're driving from. You have to put those aside. And, you know, really the only way to put those aside is to continue moving forward step by step. So that was a little bit of a tangent there that I don't even know if it made sense, but I was just kind of spewing stream of consciousness type stuff. But overall, just know that if you're still thinking, will anyone even buy this, especially after you've done the tangible work to know the answer to that question, but you're still having those thoughts and they sometimes might be holding you back or keeping you from moving forward, just know that the way around those is to move forward. That's really what I was just trying to say. All right, we'll leave it at that. If you want help, seanminer.com/thebundle will get you into the bundle before the price increase coming up. And until next time, take care. Hey, wait up before you go. Do you want to know the biggest reason why your business may not flow? Because it's not in alignment with your personality type. Building the right business for you means knowing your strengths, weaknesses, energetic expression, and what's most important to you so you can build your business accordingly. Before you spend one more minute working on your business, let's make sure it's the right business for you. I've created a fun 2-minute quiz to discover your flow business personality type. With the results of this quiz, you'll know exactly what to prioritize in your business so you can feel confident knowing you're building a business you love. Head over to seanminer.com/quiz right now to find out your flow business personality type. And once you find that out, hop over to Instagram and let me know what you discover. Again, that's seanminer.com/quiz. As always, the link is in the show notes.